Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. In the pool car, outside Extra, which is Peterborough Services, if I'm not very much mistaken. My name is Michael Bailey.
On a Saturday night, paint the full picture.
I mean, we've got a lot of lights in front of us. Ed's Diner is shining resplendently in the gloom and the rain. Mm. And it is a bit gloomy, I'm afraid to say. We're on our way back, myself, Michael Bailey, and EDP Chief Norwich City Writer Paddy Davitt. From Oakwell, the wonderful surroundings of Barnsley Football Club, where they have just about got electricity in the press box, which is good. Just not quite nailed the Wi-Fi yet, but you know, you good old tykes will get there eventually, I'm sure. Maybe we should talk about that rather than the football, because we've obviously had conversations and what have you since the full-time whistle and Norwich losing 2-1, back to, I guess, where we were a few weeks ago. And let's be honest here, Pad, after a run of 5 straight losses, then that 5-0 win against Brentford, it was always going to take more than one result to repair the damage of that run, and to go and lose like they did today, it just seems like that's such a backward step.
Yeah, more, and on top of that is the manner of the defeat, you know, because I said to you, I'm struggling to think of a more self-inflicted defeat. I mean, they've lost an ever-growing number of games in the league this season. One or two ropey cup exits in there as well. But to actually handicap themselves in the way they did, really, first half, with the manager's selections, effectively, and he's admitted it himself after the game. But, you know, he's there to get it right before a game and furls, as it were, rather than looking back ruefully after the game. And not for the first time this season, we're saying he's probably fell the wrong side of the line. So, you know, it's more than about... It's deeply troubling now. Let's be honest with it. It's deeply troubling because after last week, line in the sand, excellent win. Caveat of how poor Brentford might have been. But to go from that to... It's almost like we imagined last week and we're still in this rut of... unable to win games, unable to compete, unable to sort of do the less refined side of the game, which is essential in the Championship. They're still not learning, and that goes to the manager as much as the players.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because we sit there on a Friday and we listen to all their views on a game ahead of it, and it seems to be happening much more increasingly that what they hear and what they tell us they're going to get, they do get. And they still don't seem ready for it, which is remarkable. And it's great that Alec Neil has that honesty. But the problem is, on the run that he's just been on, to be that honest and effectively say he got it wrong with the team he selected and then basically correct it at half-time, just does him a whole world of damage, I think. And we've sort of pointed it out before kick-off, and I think I've said this on just about every medium, so I might as well say it on the podcast as well. You looked at Norwich's bench today, and I tweeted it before the game, they had 4 defensive-minded players out of 7 on the bench. You looked at the 11 he named, he basically had 3, including the goalkeeper, because Brady was at left-back. Pinto, maybe that's a stretch, but he's certainly an attacking-minded full-back at the very best. And Dorans and Housen, neither of which are particularly defensive-minded midfielders, you know, true to themselves. So they were always going to be open, weren't they?
Yeah. And I've said it to Alex Neil before, that I don't claim to know anything about football. That's the brutal reality. We go there as observers, and we're there to ask the questions of the people who do know what they're doing in this game. And I've told him, you know, before, that's why it's me asking the questions and he has to give the answers, and not just what he says verbally, but what he does in terms of setting his teams up. And it was glaringly obvious today, bearing in mind what he'd give us, which was a pretty accurate inside track yesterday, Friday afternoon, on what to expect. Young, hungry players in the Barnsley ranks, high energy, high intensity, work rate. That's what they delivered. And Norwich, woefully, were found wanting in every department. And, you know, as I say, that was fairly apparent very swiftly into the game. So it was no surprise they walked off there at 2-0 down and getting dogs abuse from an ever-growing number of away supporters. So, as I said in the first section there, you know, you're handicapping yourself. If that is what you're going to face and you go in with a midfield of the two Murphys, Dorans and Howson and Pritchard, I'm sorry, but you're going to lose that battle. And if you lose that battle in that area of the pitch, more often than not, certainly the Championship, you're going to lose the game. And the game was lost in the first half, irrespective of how vastly improved they were second half.
But as anyone would say, it's easy to play when you're 2-0 down. It's a cliche because it's true. And, you know, when you're trying to come back and what have you, and Barnsley's level clearly dropped. They put a lot of effort into that first half, I got the impression, and did really well. I haven't seen the goals in terms of replays or anything. I just about caught them in real time. But I mean, the first goal neatly worked, neatly neat cross and well taken first time effort. But again, it's a finish from inside the 6-yard box pretty much, and they seemed pretty exposed from there. And the second was a very wonderful strike from Conor Hourihane, who I'm a bit of a fan of. It got a deflection, but he was given far too much space for a guy who's got a very decent left foot, and I think he proved that with his set piece deliveries as well. You touched on the atmosphere that Alec Neil and the players had to get. I mean, it's an interesting setup, isn't it? Because it's one of those grounds where the tunnel's in the corner. Yeah. So everyone has to walk off towards the corner, which is effectively in front of the Norwich fans who are behind a goal, but to that side. So there's no real hiding place, was there, for them at half-time, especially when they were booed off. Neil sorted it out, rang out. That's as harsh as we've seen. Well, not harsh, but that's as tough as we've seen it in terms of atmosphere. And then full-time, because Norwich had rallied a bit, I suppose, and I would only say a bit, personally. There were boos, jeers, gestures of, you know, for goodness sake, probably a bit stronger, but people clapping too, because they appreciated the response. So I guess that probably sums it up a little bit, doesn't it? Because it's such a hodgepodge of what people feel is the situation at the moment.
Well, that was the game, wasn't it? Absolutely abject in the first half, self-inflicted abject performance, and then second half he makes changes, those changes result in a far more improved showing. Take your point about it's easier when it's 2-0 down, and maybe Barnsley did drop, but so that was probably just a direct reaction to what they were served up. But again, asked him after the game, what do you make of that fan reaction? And he was in no doubt that at half time, I think, reading between the lines, he's basically turned around and said, you listen to that abuse you've just had, you deserve every last drop of it. And he would probably say that applied to him as well. But, you know, why does it need that? Why do we need to be in this situation now where they've got one of the best squads in the Championship? I know the results aren't showing at the minute, but it's pretty clear to me, watching them week in, week out, seeing what else is in this division, that there aren't too many other squads you would swap for Norwich's. How can it possibly be they have lost 6 games out of 7 in the league? You know, that's just ridiculous. It's woeful. It's a woeful run of form. And ultimately, you know, it is now for the board to decide. We've just come through this sort of wailing and gnashing of teeth period. At least we hoped, anyway, with the Brentford win. I fear we're going to be plunged into it again with these upcoming 2 home games at Carrow Road if they don't go as everybody hopes they do go. So, you know, it might well be very, very shortly now that that board do face a dilemma, because, you know, they made it quite clear recently publicly they don't feel they want to make the change. He could be the guy to drive it on longer term. I'm sorry, but, you know, another few more L's on this form line and... That's almost an untenable position for me as a board.
I've said it for weeks now. It's a question of when, not if, for me. So it's, you know, you just drag it out, or I can't see him turning it round. But that's my viewpoint. We'll touch on the 2 games coming up. I did just want to mention, me and Chris Gorham had an interesting conversation over whether Norwich are the ones who define whether they pick up good results. You know, if they play well, they win. If they don't play well, they lose. And he strongly believes that from when I was talking to him. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. Whereas I feel it's more a question of the sides Norwich are coming up against. And if they play against a side that press them and harry them, Norwich seem to struggle to deal with that consistently over 90 minutes, and they seem to get unstuck. And their really good performances have come when sides have sat off them and not worked very hard, and Norwich are able to play through them and cut them open. And I'm not sure if Norwich's performances have altered much. That said, I would agree with what Chris has told me, which is that, you know, Norwich pick up the results they deserve. You know, generally, you wouldn't say they've been hard done by in any particular games, but it's sort of chicken and egg, I suppose. The one thing I did want to mention to you as well, it was an interesting line from Alec Neil. I think it was when he was talking to Chris today. He said if he'd have made changes to the team and they'd have lost, he'd have got stick for it, which he would have done. But I just, doesn't that show the sort of negative frame of mind he's in at the moment? Because either way, if they'd have won, it'd have been fine.
Well, he said exactly the same to me. I mean, ultimately, the man who walked through the door here in January 2015, we wouldn't have got an answer like that from him at that point. No way. So that tells you that he's took some sustained blows now. Some will say self-inflicted, but you know he's had a few low points to deal with, and he does increasingly look beaten down with it. And if that is translating or transmitting itself into his decision making, then the evidence is there for all to see, really, because, you know, we had this up after the Brighton game, and between Brighton and Leeds, he was more or less, he had to make one stroke two enforced changes, but he was loyal. That was the phrase he used, loyal to the lads at Brighton. You've performed abysmally. There you go. There's your chance. Didn't work. So from Leeds to QPR, he makes six changes. So he's going from one extreme to the other, effectively. And it's all reactive. It always seems he's reacting to situations, you know, during the game, from game to game on this run, and you would just like to feel that he was actually in control of the situation. And as I said, having quite accurately mapped out how Barnsley were going to set about it today, don't care if they won 5-0 last week, he puts the best team on the pitch today to deal with that threat. And it's disrespectful to think you can go out there and score one more than them or just play better than the opposition. Norwich aren't in any way, shape or form good enough, even in the Championship, to think they can arrogantly turn up and impose themselves on opponents who are prepared on a weekly basis now to basically show us all graphically what their weaknesses are, which are the ones you've already stated, you know. High press, work rate, endeavour, energy, hunger, maybe as well. And Norwich, we've seen it periodically, not just today, can't seem to cope with it. Which leads you to the question, A, the manager, and B, have we got the right set of players? Because it is pretty abundantly clear now, wherever you stand on his future, certain players' future with January around the corner, the results tell you the season is only going one way, and that's south, sadly.
Just to put it into joyous context, Newcastle are currently 13 points ahead of Norwich at the top of the table. Brighton, who you may think, oh, well, yeah, but they might fall away, they're 12 points ahead of Norwich. And this is, of course, the side that picked up what probably the second best total of points last season, not to go up automatically. To think that those two won't be very close to running away from Norwich very shortly would be to miss the point. They're both sides, I think, off the top of my head, are as far, if not further, away from Norwich than Bournemouth were, and they were top when Alec Neil joined the club. Shall we get some words from Yusuf Malumbu for the first time in my memory since he joined the club? We got to speak to Yusuf and a bit of Alec Neil.
I don't think he has changed that much. Still physical, you know, the game, it's quick, rapid. You need to win the challenge before you play football from the back. And I think it didn't change that much, you know. It's a tough league, you know. You need to respond week in, week out. And I enjoy it. But, you know, at my age, I can't play all the game, you know.
Fair enough. Is that why we're only seeing you so often then? Is there a bit of
that? No, I had a couple of injuries, you know, and Alex Dete, Johnny Howson, Graham Dorans, well, it's doing good, you know, so it's really hard and really tough, you know, when you come back from injury to get in the team. So I'm doing my best. When I get the time, you know, I try to enjoy and I try to play my best.
Were you guys a bit open in the first half? Was it a question of the performance from you, the players on the pitch, or was it that it was just too attacking against the side that were pretty energetic?
I just think, like, we came here to play from the back, you know. And maybe there was a trap. They set up a trap and we just fell, you know, in because they were playing long ball. and they were pressing us a little bit in the first half, and maybe we didn't have the confidence to play from the back. So that's the major thing. We conceded, you know. When you concede away from home, it's always hard, you know.
Just one more. I mean, how have you found playing for Norwich? As I said, we haven't spoken to you since you made the move, so... Yeah. What's it been like? Do you like the area? Do you like the club?
Yeah, it's a family club. You know, it's typical like West Brom, you know, family club. The fans are responding, you know. And I was just lucky because, you know, injury 3 months. I came back. I was injured for a month. Now I try to get my fitness back. And it's working well. You know, I'm happy. I play 45 minutes. You know, I try to help the team. I've got a little bit of experience now, so I can speak with the younger lads and I can teach them what I know. But I'm enjoying my time here.
Do you feel like the fans have got to see the best of you?
No, not yet, you know. But when I play like I play in the second half, I think, you know, my fitness is going to be back and I will be able to help the team.
Yeah, I just think that we didn't compete. We didn't do all the things we did in the second half. You know, the one thing that I'll look at is I think I picked the wrong team in the first half. You know, I got persuaded by the team that did so well last week, but when you come away from home at this level, if you don't fight and scrap and bite and do all the bits that you need to do, we just get bullied in the first half. I mean, it was nothing to do with tactics, nothing to do with quality, just basically they turned the ball, they picked up second balls, they fought, they scrapped, and physically they dominated us. And then obviously I made two changes at half time, and I thought it was completely roles reversed in the second half. I thought we dominated them. I thought we were physically dominant. We had all of the ball, we had the chances, but it was just too little too late.
Welcome back to the Pinkin.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, draftkings.co.uk/pink, to play free.
Let's sift through the positives, Paddy. I found one.
Good one.
Nelson Oliveira. He played quite well in the second half, and I wouldn't have said Norwich really missed Cameron Jerome today.
No, I like him. I've liked him since you walked through the door, to be honest. And I know there's been some games which haven't been suited to him, where frankly he's looked like, what have they bought here, in terms of his style of play fitting with a team who weren't performing well against opponents who were playing better than Norwich. But there's just more and more signs that in the right setting with the right service around him that lad will score goals. And to be honest, again today, like last week, having said that about he needs the right framework to operate, both his goals just instinctive finishes. I mean, today's one was fantastic. And he's got some hammer in that left. And may I add that I actually saw him bend one in from 25 yards on his right against Barnet in the EFL Trophy earlier this season. So he's got some dynamite in both boots. But, you know, it's not enough. As I say, it's one slim positive to take from the afternoon. But, yeah, you wouldn't say they were missing Jerome at the minute, but... But again, as I say, there will be certain afternoons where it's not really Nelson's type of game. You know, he's with his back to goal and trying to link the play. Jerome's down the channels harassing centre-backs. So it's a good... It's certainly up the top end of the field. Yes, you probably want one or two of us who could add a few more goals, but they've got a nice little mix there. But, you know, so the other areas of the pitch that concern me greatly at the minute... As I say, no way, shape or form is it being wise after the event. Malumbo should have started today, and that's a big negative for the manager, really. You can't dress it up any other way.
That's interesting. I think someone's already tweeted saying we all expected Yusuf Malumbo to start on the last podcast. We said that he would start. So we were right. We were wise before the event. Actually, we were literally were. I have to say, I wasn't really looking forward to seeing Nelson Oliveira. grow into the side, because he seemed to be just sort of a fancy flick merchant. And but fair enough, the last two games looks different gravy, so more of that, and I'd be very much happy, especially if it comes with some improved performances, which would be nice. So this week then, Pad, it's huge really, isn't it? Villa at home. I've got to be honest, I can't see Norwich getting anything from that. Villa are, and they've got a late winner today, I think, at home, and they're just doing that. They're doing enough, and I can see Brucey having them properly sorted out. Huddersfield maybe a bit more touch and go, but I think that Villa game is tough.
Yeah, and you know, they've been through it. They've been through that change this season managerially, and it seems to be having a positive effect. And you know, there's a guy there. He's got four or five promotions from his Championship on his CV, and he also, pertinently in terms of what Norwich are trying to do, he guided Hull back at the first attempt through the playoffs. So yeah, they won't get anything cheaply on Tuesday night, that is for sure. And you know, really, increasingly, it is now down to Neil and what team he puts on the park and how that team performs, and needs another big performance, I'm afraid. And that's the cycle they're in now. You know, with every defeat now, the next game comes exponentially. Feels almost it could have a finality to it if it was to go wrong. Now Brentford, they pulled it round. They're going to have to do it again, certainly Tuesday night, because you know, if we're talking about a seventh defeat in eight league games, you know, you're talking very difficult to see him continue in post.
Well, I mean, certainly last season, I don't think any of the promoted sides had anywhere like that kind of a run. It was sort of unprecedented. Of course, Steve Bruce is a bit of a promotion expert. I think he's been promoted more times from the Championship than, well, any other current manager. I'd have to check the stat, but he's been promoted a lot. Oh, Steve, he knows what it takes. And, you know, the Villa side, who chopped out their manager that they'd only appointed in the summer after, what, 127 games in Roberto Di Matteo. So, you know, if having a manager, it's all great and wonderful and what have you. You want to stand by them, too right, brilliant. But you have to be, whoever's in charge of the club has to be aware that if something's not working, or if you think there's a better option, or if you have a courage in your convictions that something needs to change, you don't wait for an opportunity to do it. You make it happen if you feel it's right, which is what clubs have done in the past. And
it's what Norwich have done in the past. You know, I mean, Adams out, Neil in. That was by no way, shape or form anything other than brutally decisive, and brave as well to appoint Neil, given, you know, his sort of track record under the radar north of the border paid off. 6 months later, he's getting lifted aloft by his players on the pitch at Wembley. So, you know, go back even further. Paul Lambert in, Brian going out, you know. Look how that ended. Look how it started. Look how it ended. Maybe not so good. But, you know, there's been two decisive actions by this, effectively, set up this board. Obviously, the chief exec is slightly different now. But, you know, I don't think we can afford to have this drift, because, again, said it before in this recent period, and it was reiterated by the people who really matter at the AGM, that the Premier League financially is where they have to be playing, and if not this season that's coming, then the season after, because then the financial landscape alters dramatically when the parachute money runs out. So you're on a very tight timescale as it stands, and you know, to let this season almost play out now and just drift along and not threaten the top six, that would be unforgivable for me.
And I think, just to add, you have to ignore the suggestions that this is a two-season timetable for getting back up, because going back in your second season is infinitely harder than your first season, and after your second season it becomes almost impossible until you properly rebuild. The first season is the biggest shot at it, and if they don't go up this summer, there will be changes. There will be serious changes, and it will be very difficult for whoever is in charge to get that team back up into the Premier League. And the other thing is, no one really criticises a club for holding on to a manager too long. They always think, oh no, they've given them time. That's a good thing. It's widely seen as a good thing if you keep loyal with your manager. And everyone criticises a club, as in the sort of external media who maybe aren't following them, for sacking someone, because, like, well, they, you know, they could have turned it round. That's the feeling I tend to get in generalities. So
you know, that those are the sort of things that need to be ignored, because the people closer to the club are the ones you can see whether what's going right and what's going wrong. But anyway, shall we get home the rest of our journey? Paddy's nodding.
Yes, please.
Yes, all right then. Well, don't forget, it is Villa on Tuesday night, so keep an eye out for the mustard cameras and the Pinken show, because we will be filming on Tuesday and the show goes out on Wednesday night. Of course, we'll be at Colney on Monday for a pre-match press conference with Alec, Neil and whoever else. And you'll see all the build-up that you can possibly wish to see at Pinken.com. And, of course, live coverage of the game with myself will be at Pinken.com/live. But until then, thank you ever so much for listening. We appreciate it. Cheers, Pat.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
And we will be back some point next week. Don't know where, don't know when, but we will be back. Bye now.